Next month, the people of southern Sudan will choose whether or not to break up Africa's biggest state and create the world's newest nation. A lot is at stake, including most of Sudan's oil reserves and potentially peace in one of the continent's more volatile countries. As NPR's Frank Langfitt reports, many questions remain. The biggest, will the North let the South go without bloodshed?
Sudan's ruling National Congress Party held a rally last month in Khartoum, Sudan's dusty desert capital. The purpose? Promote unity between the North and the South. Some black African Southerners joined their Arab Northern neighbors, waving canes in the air in a traditional dance. But tellingly, half the chairs in the audience sat empty. These days, an air of melancholy hangs over Khartoum.
I'm very sad for everybody here. It's very sad.
El-Shafi Hadir is a doctor and political activist here. He thinks Southerners will vote to split from the North when they go to the polls January 9th. He doesn't blame them. After all, the North fought the South for two decades in a civil war that cost 2 million lives. Still, Hadir says, losing the South will be tough to take.
I'm losing part of my family. In fact, one part of my body is going to be cut off.
More than 700 miles away in Sudan's southern capital of Juba, the mood is completely different. People line up beneath a shade tree at Juba University to register for next month's referendum. Some wait for hours and complain about it. But they're determined and excited. Dengmane Makare, a junior studying education, is sitting on a wooden bench nearby.
This is what we were fighting for all these years. It is a right for the people of southern Sudan, and it is our freedom. We get independent, we shall be free like any other country, especially like USA. We shall not be under somebody anymore.
In the school's courtyard, where goats mill about munching trash, I polled several dozen students.
How are you going to vote? Separation or unity?
Separation.
Separation.
All of us.
Okay, who's going to vote for unity?
No one.
The referendum probably won't be that lopsided, but many observers think the South will vote overwhelmingly to leave. That's how Archangelo Malone will cast his ballot. He studies rural development at Juba University, and at 34 years old, he's just a junior. That's because Malone spent much of his youth on the run and in Ethiopian refugee camps.
You knew the kids of the Lost Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm one of them. I'm one of them.
The Lost Boys were the most famous victims of Sudan's civil war, which was fought over religion, resources, and ideology. Northern troops burned their villages, or southern rebels conscripted them. Orphaned or separated from their families, thousands made an epic journey across the region by foot, enduring bandits, floods, disease, and bombing raids. Given his experience, Malone doesn't trust the northern government. He thinks the referendum commission, which is chaired by a northerner, will try to cheat the South out of independence.
They will announce it that the result of the referendum is unity. And when they make that mistake, it will erupt everywhere. Southern will not stand for a minute.
Do you think the North is trying to provoke a war?
Yes, actually.
If some Southerners fear a return to violence, some in the North do as well.
When the states go to war, when? When their vital interests are jeopardized.
Mohamed Hamid teaches political science at the University of Khartoum. He lists what the North stands to lose in secession. There's South Sudan itself, a territory nearly the size of Texas, as well as the vast majority of the country's oil reserves, which have fueled the North's economic growth. The North could even lose some of the water from the River Nile, because Juba is upstream from Khartoum.
The unity of the countries can be called vital interest, regardless of what the Southerners believe. The resources, the petrol. This petrol, without this government, could have never come off the ground.
Actually, oil is not creating a problem for us.
Rami Abdullahi Obeid is a leader in Sudan's ruling National Congress Party. He says he doesn't see a resource war on Sudan's horizon. That's because when it comes to oil, the North and South need each other. The South has most of the oil, but is desperately poor and has almost no infrastructure.
That oil produced in the South, we are ready to take it in our pipeline to the sea. Because, you know, in case of secession, South will be a closed country. They have no shores.
Of course, the North will charge fees and refine the crude itself. The South's only other option would take years.
Build a pipeline through Uganda or Kenya to the Indian Ocean, and this will cost a lot. And if they want to do so, they will have no benefit from the oil production.
There's a cafe in Khartoum where garden hoses spray mist to cool the city's oven hot air. Ahmed Badawi is having a chocolate croissant this morning. Badawi runs a think tank that advises politicians from both the north and south. He says the fear of violence is overblown.
Full-scale conflict in Sudan between the north and south is over. That boat has long sailed.
North and south signed a peace agreement in 2005, which called for next month's referendum. Badawi says much of the rhetoric is just that, a way to ratchet up pressure as the two sides negotiate outstanding disputes, everything from how to split oil revenues and international debt to the demarcation of a new border.
In many respects, the war of words, which had occurred until relatively recently, it actually should be looked at as a sign of progress. Better that they have a media war than an actual war on the ground.
With less than 4 weeks to go before the polls open, that is the hope across most of Sudan and the continent. Frank Langfitt, NPR News.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.